Well, most of this week I've been nattering myself thinking, is that really the word? You've not really written much down. You've not really got many ideas. Is it really what God's saying? And that's all God said today. So it must be.
Amen.
Last week, when we came to the breaking of bread, the thought crossed my mind about the Old Testament and how for a sin offering people had to bring a lamb. This lamb had to be perfect. If you brought an old scraggy lamb that had been battered or bruised, your offering was not acceptable to God. The only offering that is acceptable to God is perfection. The lamb had to be perfect. Now, in order to make sure that this lamb was perfect, the priest would examine the lamb. Now, bear in mind that the lamb was being slain for the forgiveness of the person that brought it. But the person that brought it was not the one that got examined. And we know today who the Lamb of God is. And it's because Jesus is the Lamb of God, and that He is perfect, that we can stand and have our sins forgiven today. And it doesn't matter what that sin is. The Bible doesn't say He forgives you of sins except X, Y, and Z. He says He forgives you all your sins. John the Baptist, we read about him in John chapter 1, said that Jesus was the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Only a perfect sacrifice could do that. And today, all we have to do is confess our sins, and the blood of Jesus washes all those sins away. Sometimes when we sin, there's a temptation that we try to hide them. We cover them up. And we try to avoid being accountable for what we've done. I've told you the story before that many times in school I have told students that the behaviour is not acceptable, and they, even though know that they've done wrong, they'll try and cover it up. And the reason that they try and cover it up is because they don't want to be punished. Told you the story how for a week I fetched about 8 students back every break, every lunchtime and after school for a week, and all I wanted was somebody to own up to throwing things around the room. I thought I knew who did it, but I wasn't sure. But I made sure he came back every day. And at the end of the week, I said, okay, we're going to do this again next week. We're going to do it until the person owns up, or until one of you does it. And I know you don't grass on your mates, but I'll make life easier for you. And I looked the boy in the eye and said, are you going to own up, or are we going through it all again? And his reaction was, if you knew all the time, why have we had to keep coming back? Why have you done this? Hang on a minute. I did nothing. I spelled out the way that this system works. You own up. and all these detentions stop. It's not my fault that you've had to keep coming back. I want to keep coming back too. Well, they haven't. I was in my room. But the thing is, people are more afraid of the consequences of their actions than they are in admitting that they've made an error. And sometimes just admitting that you're wrong is the end of it. At the end of this, when he admitted that it was him, it's like, well, what are you going to do now? Well, don't you think you've been punished enough? Let me see. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Break, lunch, break after school. That makes 16 detentions so far. How many more do you think it will take to recompense for throwing something around the room? Do you not think that 10 minutes would have been adequate? Or failing that, why didn't you just admit it? There needn't have been any punishment. And sometimes we get caught up in avoiding people, avoiding situations, because we're afraid of the consequences. And it's not the consequences that's the problem. The problem is that you're distancing yourself from God. The problem is that you're allowing sin to hinder your walk with God. The truth is that sin is your responsibility, but only so far as you need to repent. The punishment for that sin's already been paid. In 1 John chapter 1 and verses 5 to 10. 1 John chapter 1, it's near the back. And verses 5 to 10. We read, this is the message which we have heard of him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we've no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth isn't in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if we say we've not sinned, we make him to be a liar, and his word is not in us. And when it's talking about his word, it's not just talking about the book. Jesus is the word. We cannot live like the world lives and expect to have lots of God's glorious light shining in us and around us, because we absorb a lot from our environment into our lives. Wherever you are, your environment is going to have an effect on you. Went in the supermarket the other day, I walked about 6 paces inside the supermarket and turned round and came out. But if they need music that loud, I don't need to buy their products. You could have, oh dear Lord. I went across the road and went into a different one. They sold it as well. They lost a sale because the music was too loud. They lost a sale because of their environment. We sometimes lose out with God because of the environment that we place ourselves in. Sometimes we lose out because of the environment that's going on in here. It's easy to do what you want to do. It's easy to procrastinate, and that means put things off. It's easy to leave it, oh, I'll do it tomorrow. Sometimes it has to be done straight away. If these two had decided, oh, we'll leave it for another couple of days, they wouldn't be out now. Or there'd be panic stations, and they'd be pleading with the landlord, just another couple of days. There are deadlines in life, but there are also spiritual deadlines. And the deadline, as far as sin is concerned, is that now is the accepted time. Tomorrow would be okay, but now is the accepted time. When do you want to be healed? Now. Do you want to wander around with backache, legache, toeache, earache, headache? How long do you want to suffer? Now is the accepted time. The devil will get on your case, and he'll let you know all the things that are wrong. He'll let you know how bad you are, what a loser you are, how you're failing, how inadequate you are, what a little weedy little worm you are. My question would be, why are you listening to him? My Bible tells me that the devil's a liar that's come to steal, to kill and to destroy. So why would I want to listen to him? All we do with sin is confess it. And the blood of Jesus cleanses us. That spotless Lamb of God takes away all our sin. If the devil says, you told a lie this morning, say, thank you, Father, I told a lie this morning, I put it under the blood of Jesus. You'll not have to do it that way very long before the devil shuts his big mouth. The devil didn't intend being an evangelist. If the devil tells you anything that you've done wrong, if it's true, apologise to God. And if he tells you anything, just switch him off. He's not that important. He's not your God. And my question, a number of times to many, many Christians, why do you know more about what the devil is saying than what God's saying? Oh, well, the devil told me this, so why did you listen to him? The devil told me to do this, the devil told me this, the devil. The only thing that you need to tell the devil is go away, shut up. Jesus said, get thee behind me. We've no business communicating with the devil except to tell him to go. And that goes for his little minions, his little demons as well. You tell them to clear off. They don't have any power over you. The only person with any power over you is Jesus, the Father and the Holy Ghost, and they will only come into your life and influence you by your invitation. They won't force themselves onto you. They'll talk to you. Sometimes you might think they're forcing themselves, but they won't ever do anything in your life or to you without your invitation. Because gentlemen don't impose on anybody. So as Christians or disciples, we're looking to be in a right relationship with him all the time. We're not looking to do wrong. We're not looking to see what we can get away with. We're looking to be cleansed and to walk cleansed. It's a great feeling to be clean, isn't it? Even in the natural, it's a great feeling to be clean. I changed the bedding yesterday. And because I changed the bedding as a celebration, because it's lovely to have clean bedding and be clean. So I got into the shower last night as well as yesterday morning. Because it's nice to feel clean. As a Christian, it's also nice to be clean. If you are keeping a record of the things that you failed God on, my question would be, why? Why keep a record of your failures? It surprises me sometimes at school when you'd have some sixth form classes and some of the sixth formers would say, I failed four GCSEs, isn't that funny? No. How many did you pass? Well, I passed seven. But you're telling me about the four you failed. Failure is not something to be proud of. And I'm not saying that it's wrong to fail. Sometimes failure proves that you've actually tried to do something. Some of the folk that never fail never achieve anything. But in order to achieve something, look beyond any failures that you might have had. If you fail at something, well, try have another go. You fail your driving test first time, have another go. You'll not be driving on the road on your own if you don't, unless you want to be illegal and end up in prison. There are many, many things that we attempt that put ourselves in a place where we might fail. Some people will not pray for the sick because they're frightened that, well, if I pray for them and they don't recover, I've failed, haven't I? Nope, actually no. Because you are not the healer, you are the prayer. Jesus is the healer. And Jesus has healed everybody. He said, oh, well, I'm sick. Well, if that's your confession. Today somebody said to me, how are you? So I'm not telling you. All I'm going to say is I'm healed in the name of Jesus. Because I'm not confessing sickness. Sickness is not God's plan for any of our lives. God's plan for all our lives is health and wholeness, spiritually and physically and mentally. We have got a lot going for us. So why do we dwell on the things that are not going for us? Why do we worry about the things that are not right? It's easy sometimes, as I say, just to consider all the things that are not going well. And so you consider the things that are not going well, and you consider them a little bit more, and a little bit more, and a little bit more, and before you know where you are, it's occupying all your waking hours. All your problems and difficulties are constantly in your mind. And because they're constantly in your mind, you know what's happening to you? Your spirit is getting down, and you're getting fed up, and you're getting depressed. Look at all this, it always happens to me. You're confessing again. Everything goes wrong for me, you're confessing again. And when we say these negative things, it's almost as if you've got a self-fulfilling prophecy going on. That was a good one for you to interpret. And when we've got all this thing going on, we then say, well, God, I don't know where you are in all this. And yet God's there all the time. He never ever leaves us. He's always with us. It's just like being in a room, like bringing Joan to church today. She was in my car. Now, I can talk to her, or I can just carry on driving and ignore the fact that she's there. The relationship goes as far as the communication goes. We're together, but the amount of communication we have is decided by us. I could talk all the way so that Joan doesn't get a word in. It's usually the other way around. But the thing is, if there's no communication, that's nobody's fault except ours. On the other hand, sometimes there's no need to talk. Just enjoy each other's company, but on a short journey from church, there's usually conversation. We're in the car longer. It's not necessary, is it, to talk all the way? Otherwise, if you're talking for a 2 or 3 hour journey, you'll get to a point where you're thinking, dear God, I wish they'd shut up. Sometimes we can only listen for so long. Galatians chapter 5 and verses 24 and 25. Galatians 5, 24 and 25. They that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another and envying one another. Chapter 6. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfil the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. If we are sowing things that are unspiritual, don't be surprised when what you're reaping is corruption or something bad. Galatians 5 and 6 are quite like. It points out in very clear terms the things that are right and the things that are wrong. But ultimately, if you're walking and you're keeping Jesus central in your life, you'll not be going far wrong. Jesus needs to be at the centre of everything we say and everything we do, because if we keep Jesus central, we're not going to go far wrong. We used to have those bracelets, didn't we? WWJD, what would Jesus do? And it's not a bad thing to ask ourselves today. If we put our eyes firmly on Jesus, a very, very important scientific thing occurs. If I start walking now, which way do you think I'm going to be going? I'm going to be going forwards. If I look over there, the chances are I'm walking over there. If I turn over here and look that way, the chances are I'm going to be looking that way. Now, sometimes I might trick you. I might look that way and then walk this way, just to be awkward. But generally speaking, you are going to walk in the way that you are looking. If you are looking to Jesus, you are going to be walking the way that Jesus walks. I don't mean physically, you know. But you're going to walk the way, the path that Jesus walks. Do you want Jesus to guide you in everything that you do? Look at him then. Look at his word. Don't expect to be a vibrant Christian on fire for him, raising the dead, casting out devils, healing the sick, leading others to Christ. If you never look at him, you never give him any attention. When you start looking for partners in life, you aren't going to get a girlfriend or boyfriend that you never look at. Because if you never look at him, and you go up to him and say, how about a date tonight? Are they talking to? Who's she talking to? You look at the people that you are involved with. You look at somebody that you care about. You tell me that you care about Jesus. How much time do you spend looking at him then? How much time do you spend reading his word? How much time do you spend talking to him? Now, it's easy when you live on your own, because he's the only person in the house you can talk to. Don't half tell him some stuff. But you can do the same. Sometimes he's the only one that's bothered. Sometimes people will tell me things when I'm walking, when I'm in town. Well, not in the town, but in the village. Some people say, oh, did you know this, this and this? And sometimes it's quite interesting, and sometimes it's like, who cares? Oh, did you know so-and-so died? You don't even know so-and-so. That goes on the scale of, really? How interesting. Oh, did you know that this happened on such and such a street? Oh, that was bad. Thank the God it weren't on my street. But sometimes we get caught up in the things of this life when there are more important things going on. Your neighbours are going to hell. Are you bothered? Your family members are going to hell. Do you care? Your neighbours have got serious illnesses, and you have the answer to pray and see them recover. Do you care? As I said earlier, what has your attention has you. If you want to see people saved, healed, delivered, you need to look to Jesus and make sure that these things are able to occur. Because while you are here, you are his hands and feet. Jesus is not coming back just yet. But he sent the Holy Spirit to empower us that we can do these things. John 16:13-15. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he'll not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He'll glorify me, that is Jesus, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. And all things that the Father has are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it to you. Everything belongs to Jesus. Everything on this earth right now belongs to him. Oh, well, it doesn't, because I paid for this, so my house is mine, isn't it? Nope. Oh, well, the government's in charge of this, this, so the government is in charge of that, aren't they? Nope. We do our job right. We're supposed to pray for those in authority over us, and these people in authority over us are placed there by Christ. By God himself, he establishes the governments. Don't be surprised they're coming out of Europe. It's an ungodly thing. And God will have his way. When Trump decided to establish an embassy in Jerusalem, going, oh, no, no, we can't do that. Yes, we can. People need to be aware of things other than what's going off in their own locality. There are things and powers going off in the wider world that we know very little of. And sometimes the temptation is that we just concentrate on what's going off in our own little corners, and that's all we're bothered about. We are really concerned about the area of intake, but we don't all live in intake, so we have got wider concerns. Our families don't all live close by, we've got wider concerns. We are citizens of this country. We have bigger concerns. We live in this world. We have a bigger concern. We need to stop focusing on ourselves. Get your eyes off yourself. One of the worst things is spending time just concentrating on yourself. All that we need is the Lamb of God. And God looks at that Lamb, his Son Jesus Christ, and examines him. No sin here. So then he doesn't come to us and say, well, let's just have a look then. Let's see what you've done wrong today, shall we? Ooh, dear Lord. The things that have been done wrong by individuals in this room today. Ooh. But that's the wrong focus. The focus is that Jesus is the Lamb of God and has taken away all your sin. All you need health-wise, all you need deliverance-wise, is all in Jesus. We just have a responsibility to accept Jesus and to receive all that he has prepared for us. You can't do it on your own, so don't try. Oh, if I could just do this, if I could just do that. We need to live like Jesus did, just walking in his righteousness. Because if we're walking in our righteousness, it's all over, folks. We walk in his righteousness. We walk in the path that he has planned for us. And we walk in the way that we need to walk, keeping him at our centre, looking at him, looking at Jesus. Don't take your eyes off Jesus. Why would you want to look to anybody else for your help? In Psalm 121, David says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? Now, is he asking, where's my help coming from? Or is he saying that his help comes from the hills? Well, the hills aren't going to do anything for him. But if you look up where God lives, that's where your help comes from. In Old Testament times, they had that vision that heaven was up and hell was down. Well, people in Australia would then have a problem if... But the truth of the matter is, Jesus died for each and every one of us. Everything that we need is in him. There is nothing that you need. But you don't inherit because of what he did on that cross at Calvary. His blood cleanses you entirely. There's nothing that can hinder you from walking as Jesus has called you to walk other than yourselves. Look to him and walk in his path.